The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Dale Gibson in the studio with you today. Looking ahead to the best of Friday's racing. We've got a fantastic Friday in store as well. Some top quality racing up and down the country. And hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Mr. Gibson, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, not too bad at all. Good. Haven't spoken to you for a while. When was the last time you were in William Hill Towers?
No, it would have been back end of June, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
So, yeah, not a million years ago.
And how's things? You keeping well?
Very good, yeah. No, been busy. Busy with all sorts. So, can't complain. We've just had a look at the fixture list for next year.
Mm.
Even more racing, more evening racing. So everyone's going to be working longer hours. But that's just the way it is. So, you know, we're an entertainment business, but many of the jockeys are going to be doing a lot more for their hard earned.
Mm, they are indeed, and obviously, this week is one of those weeks where it's maybe quieter in terms of the quality.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, we've had a real run of top quality racing. We've got the King George on Saturday. Still plenty of racing to get our teeth into up and down the country. You've got to draw breath sometimes, haven't you, when you've had a busy period, and it's just that week where you're just drawing breath and then going again, really.
Absolutely. And as you said, there is some superb racing this weekend. We've got Glorious Goodwill coming up next week.
Yep.
So there is plenty to look forward to, and there's still plenty of racing on.
There is indeed, up and down the country.
And the field sizes have been predominantly as well. Given that the weather's been a bit dodgy in the last week or so.
It's been a little bit up and down, but I think a couple of things that have helped, which I've spoken about on William Hill before, is those additional horses able to run £1 or £2 above the ceiling so far since December when it came in. 1,800 additional runners. That's
wow.
A big number.
That is.
That's flat and jumping. That's a big number.
I wasn't aware of that. That it was going to be that big a figure.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So in what, 7 months, 210 days, we're talking 8 horses a day?
Yeah.
Roughly, 8-9 horses a day.
No bad thing, is it?
No.
As for Friday's racing, we've got action at Ascot, Chepstow, Newmarket, Thirsk, Uttoxeter, York, Down Royal and Wexford.
Well, there we go. What more do you want?
I was going to say, we're going to focus on two contests at Ascot shortly and two at Newmarket as well.
Yep.
I mean, that's leaving York alone. There's a listed contest at York that we're not mentioning. And you know, there's good racing all over the place. And it's fairly competitive as well on Friday.
It is. Listen, I wouldn't put you off having a bet at York. The ground should be nice there. There's a couple of real nice races, as you say, particularly the listed race. The second race is nice. 6 furlong handicap. Whole bunch of horses in there with a chance. But, it's competitive all the way through.
It is indeed. We'll just have a quick mention for Saturday.
Yep.
The King George. Enable, as we record this at around about 2:30 on Thursday afternoon, Enable 11-10, 4-1 Highland Reel, Jack Hobbs is 5-1, 9-1 for Idaho, Ulysses at 10s, 20s and bigger the remainder. Has all the makings of an absolutely superb race once again. But Enable is the one who's all the rage.
Yeah, huge. Massively impressive all season and gone the right way from Chester to Epsom to the Curragh. And the fact that Frankie rides 8 stone 7, which he has not done in this country for a long time.
Mm.
She gets the sex allowance, she gets the age allowance, and she's stepping in the right direction. I mean, I wouldn't put you off Highland Reel at 4-1. I mean, he's absolutely massive, isn't he?
Yeah.
They are a little concerned about the juice in the ground, but we're not talking soft ground here. Quite often the ground is overblown anyway. The market is very, very strong for Enable. Ulysses been drifting. He's been weak all week. I just get the impression he's better at 1.25 with everything dropping right for him as it was at Sandown Park. Listen, some very good horses in there as well. Jack Hobbs, but he's been lightly raced the last couple of years. And I just think everything's got to drop right for Jack Hobbs.
Yeah. At the same time, though, Enable at 11 to 10, I think she's a worthy favourite. She deserved to be short. But you look at who's up against her, and granted, they're not the absolute cream, but they're very close to being the cream.
Very close to it.
And if you're saying, well, basically the price is now 4 to 6 the field, you wouldn't mind having a few of them on your side, would you?
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Certainly interesting. Would you back Enable?
Not at 11 to 10, but I would have done...
Yes.
When she first opened up at 7-4, was she?
Yeah, so the most likely winner, definitely.
Yeah, I think someone's backed her at 7-4 and is probably rubbing their hands together.
Yeah, quite possibly. Be interesting to see what happens, and obviously there's some absolutely superb racing from all over the place on Saturday, so make sure you listen to tomorrow's racing podcast, where I think it's Rory DeLaghi in the hot seat looking ahead to the best of Saturday's racing. We'll focus on Friday then, and we're going to focus on the two clear meetings, actually, both Ascot and Newmarket, two clear meetings here at William Hill. We'll start with Ascot's 3.55. It's a handicap over just shy of a mile and a half, and plenty of horses that we know plenty about here. Good to see the old boy Snooky and Star running once again. Career start number...
Plenty.
91.
Yeah.
On this occasion, and has managed to win 16 of them.
Yeah.
No, 14 of them, I should say. But anyway, there's plenty in here that you could give chances to on peak form, but of those arriving here in form, the Varian duo seem to be leading contenders.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's appeared in King Bolette.
Appeared, who is now rated 104, having been runner-up at Ascot. He won on debut first time this year. Course and distance form is so, so important. He's not probably going to be a massive price, but I think you've just got to maybe see how the market goes. But he's got to be on the shortlist, hasn't he? And interestingly enough, Varian's also running King Bolette. Now, I'm not sure why. He too has won at Ascot. He had cheap pieces on for the first time last time, and he's £3 higher. Is he going to back that up again? He might do, but I think it is quite unusual for a leading trainer to run two horses...
Same connections.
...rated above 100 in a handicap. I'm not sure why. Maybe they've got a big plan. Maybe they're just thinking they're hedging the bets a bit. I just think that Appeared has a little bit more going for him than King Bolette. King Bolette, one round Windsor. No disrespect to Windsor, but I just think the overall shape of Appeared just leads me towards him. Listen, there's some other decent horses in this race, but just at the moment, off their marks, they look exposed. And I would be going with Appeared.
Okay, but you do make it between the Varian pair.
I do.
Yeah, certainly.
Do you think it's a little bit unusual for this type of race?
It's... Well, firstly, I think it's odd. You don't often see two runners in these silks in the same race. They seem to be fairly well strategically planned. Often turning up mile and a half races at York and the like.
Donny and elsewhere.
Yeah. And generally doing very well, but it is rare that they come up against each other. And if you were wondering for jockey bookings, by the way, Adzani's been on board a pair the last few starts. Jack Mitchell actually rode King Bolette to victory last time out. That's probably why he's kept the ride. Although, if D'Souza had the choice, who knows? He may have chosen.
I think he could be banned, though, couldn't he, Adzani?
Yes, I believe he is. But just between the D'Souza and Mitchell. Interesting. But you'd stick with Appeared in that 3.55. The 4.25 is a handicap over 5 furlongs. Now, there's plenty of old favourites in here. There's plenty of younger horses as well that have got plenty of improving still to do. And there's plenty of three-year-olds who've got plenty of experience as well.
Yeah.
This is a cracking contest.
Cracking.
But absolutely wide open.
It is. Disappointing 15 go to post, not the magic 16. It was the same last year, 15 went to. I just could have done with one more for the magic first four betting. I do like Shamshon to give you a run for your money. He's won over course and distance. Jim Crowley riding in his bottom weight, 8 stone 9. Stuart Williams, master trainer, drawn right in the middle, just drawn 8. So he's got options as to where he wants to go. And I think Shamshon give you a real good run for your money. And the other horse to take a look at, as long as the ground's not too soft, is Robot Boy.
Okay.
Callum Rodriguez taking a valuable £5 off. Hood on first time. Drawn 10. I suggest you look at the market.
Yeah.
Because barren horses generally move a little bit. And I know he's had plenty of racing, but he's a horse with a great deal of ability.
Yes.
And he lands on one of these every now and again. And I just think that Robot Boy will give you a run for your money each way. Just see what the market's doing there.
So two slightly bigger price ones then, Shamshon and Robot Boy.
Absolutely.
In a wide open race.
Wide open, isn't it?
You mentioned Callum Rodriguez as well. I remember sitting in the studio with you going back a fair few months ago now, And you were saying that he was one to keep on the right side of this season.
Be doing
and
all right.
He's had a fantastic season.
He has.
He's very, very capable in the saddle. And it's not, I don't want to say a lack of ammunition, because he is getting a fair few rides, but you get the impression that if he was based down south and was picking up rides for in inverted commas, bigger, more fashionable trainers, people would be raving about
him. Absolutely. But he's doing all right. He's doing all right. I'm going to come to another leading rider very shortly when we talk about Newmarket. This is a time of year when that claim, as you know, is pretty important. Yeah.
Well, in this race, the 425 at Ascot, he is, in theory, the worst jockey in the race, if that makes sense.
Yeah, least experience.
That's a better way of putting it, Dale. But you know what I mean? He's claiming five.
Yeah,
And I would quite happily
put him up.
Side with him on quite a few of these. Yeah. He's riding Robot Boy, one of two in the race then for Dale, in company with Shamshon.
Yeah.
Right, we'll move to Newmarket. The 5:35, a mile the trip here for this handicap. And this is a fascinating race. Now, here at William Hill, we have the Two Clear promotion. I've already done tomorrow's Two Clear video. And this is the race that I focused on, because Kane Ho Star has now won and won decisively on his last two starts. Sylvester D'Souza is now on board. Anthony Carson, again, not the most fashionable trainer maybe, but when his horses are in form, he places them fairly well.
He does.
And Kane Ho Star's got to have a leading chance here. By the way, we mentioned D'Souza, obviously getting from Ascot to Newmarket in fairly quick time.
Absolutely. He has gone up £9 in the ratings, though, and that would be a slight negative, even though he's won well the last twice. Moonlight Whistler was supposed to run at Yarmouth Thursday. Didn't run. They scratched him. Gone back to Newmarket. George Wood takes off £3. He's off 73. Very much a winnable mark. Just keep your eye on this race, guys, because Billy Roberts, he gets declared quite often, but doesn't run quite often.
Yes.
And he's due to run at Yarmouth today, Thursday, as we speak. Who knows whether he'll turn up tomorrow? The trainer does have quite a lot of non-runners, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, that's fine, Dale.
Moonlight Whistler for me, though.
Midnight Whistler.
Midnight, even. I can't read. Well, I can write. Midnight Whistler. Apologies.
Yes.
Midnight Whistler.
The Mead Horse.
The Mead Horse.
With George Wood on board. Is that the jockey you're alluding to?
Yes.
Ah, now, he has been an eye-catcher for a while now.
With James Fanchel.
Yes. But how's he still claiming three?
Yeah.
He seems to have ridden a load of winners.
Yeah.
Was he on board this one last time? He was at Epsom. Yeah. No, he is very talented, isn't he?
It's a trappy little race, this. Thought we'd flag it up because it follows on from the afternoon's action.
Yeah.
And sort of race that you could involve doubles, trebles, accumulators, that type of thing, if you're following up your bets from day to early evening. Hope the dead eight stay in, because it makes an awful difference. An awful lot of difference, doesn't it? It just gives you a little bit of feel and shape for the race.
It does, and especially, we mentioned Kane Ho Star is going to take a fair chunk out of the market,
you'd have thought.
So if you are trying to oppose that one, then you would like a bit of each-way value. And like you said, Midnight Whistler, it's not often you get a horse who's arriving here in good form that's so unexposed and is likely to go off third, maybe fourth favourite.
Yeah, absolutely.
And was tough on winning at Epsom last time.
No penalty for winning last time either. That's why I flagged him up.
Okay. Midnight Whistler, then, the selection in that 5:35 from Newmarket. The final race we're going to focus on is the 8:10 from Newmarket, over a mile and a half. It's a handicap. Now, we've only got the five set to go to post here, but they are five pretty high-class individuals.
Yeah, it's an intriguing little contest, this.
Yeah, you couldn't rule any of them out.
You couldn't. I do like Petitioner, though. I'll tell you why, because Pourvoir Magique only won an ordinary race at Ayr last time, and no disrespect, it was an ordinary race. It's rated 88.
And
I feel that's
prior
too
to that as well, I think the horse was a short price at Nottingham
and had issues, unshipped
the jockey. Yeah.
So I'm going to leave the Gosden horse alone, and I'm going to row along with Petitioner. He won on the all-weather last time. It's his handicap debut and ridden by the excellent Kieran Schumark. He debuted at Wolverhampton, then he won at Kempton, and he's off a mark of 78. So he's getting £10 off the top horse. There's question marks about Sable Island. Duke of Bronte runs on Thursday. Don't think he'll run again tomorrow. And the Grand Vizier won on debut and hasn't really gone forward since. So it is a process of elimination. And I do think Petitioner is the likely winner.
So on the face of it, all five have got a chance. But when you actually delve into it, there's a standout.
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously, I think it'll be key to follow this race for maybe later on in the season as well, because it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were all to win a race between now and the end of the season.
Without a doubt.
At some point. You mentioned Kieran Schumach, a horse who obviously was slightly more prominent at Royal Ascot with his win on Atty Purse.
Yeah.
But another jockey who's just going about his business fairly quietly. He's getting the opportunities, but he's taken them.
He's lost his claim now.
He has. This is often a very sticky period, isn't
it? But I think Roger Chantler will keep him going. He's leading the Stobart Apprentice title, and he's got every chance of winning it. He's got Tony Hind as his agent,
okay,
doing a really good job, and he's a likeable lad, and hopefully he can continue to ride winners.
We've spoken about a fair few promising jockeys, up-and-comers.
Yep.
We will just give a mention to Ted Durkin, who I believe is riding, as we're recording this, he's riding this evening at Doncaster,
yes,
isn't he?
Yeah, coming back from injury.
He's been out for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he had a heavy fall at Kempton Park last October, mm-hmm. Then he was off, he came back, and he was off again. So he's not had the rub of the green recently, so wish him well on his return.
Absolutely. Good to see Ted back in the weighing room. Right, can you just spin us through your four fancies then on a superb Friday of racing, Dale?
Absolutely. 3.55 at Ascot appeared for Roger Varian and SDS. In the 4.25, take a look at the market, but Shamshon and Robot Boy will give you good runs for your money. I would just be edging Shamshon in front of Robot Boy, but take a look at the market in the 4.25. 5.35, I'm quite keen on Midnight Whistler. Not penalised for his victory the other day in the Prentice race. Didn't take up his engagement at Yarmouth. Thursday, takes it up at Newmarket. George Wood taking off a valuable three. And then in the 8.10, could just be a little bit of value here. Petitioner, Roger Charlton, Kieran Schumach, handicap debutant.
Great stuff, Dale. Pleasure talking to you, as always. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
How often do you have the opportunity for a Knight of the Realm to offer you his best bets on the very best UK and Irish racing? Here on William Hill Racing Radio, 20-time champion jockey Sir Anthony McCoy brings with him a wealth of knowledge and know-how from his career in the saddle. The ITV pundit speaks exclusively to William Hill to offer his fancies for all the top meetings throughout the year. Hear his thoughts on William Hill Racing Radio.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.